Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. The U.S. Supreme Court siding with the Bush administration by refusing to put a temporary stop order on part of Medicare's new prescription drug program. That decision, a defeat for the states that say they're getting stuck with some of the bill for the six-month-old drug initiative. Four states asked the justices to order a temporary halt. In one provision, 10 others claimed the program threatened states' rights. The contested provision requires states have to pay back some of the money they save because they no longer pay for the drugs for people enrolled in both Medicare and Medicaid. About 43 million people are eligible for the benefit that went into effect in January, although some missed a May deadline to sign up and may now face a penalty. The Supreme Court today also ruled prosecutors can use statements that victims make to 911 operators when the victim doesn't testify at a trial. The High Court rejected arguments from a defendant unable to cross-examine a woman who told 911 he had assaulted her. The suspect claims this violates his right to confront his accuser, but the justices ruled otherwise. Still in the majority ruling, Justice Antonin Scalia says such evidence is admissible when police are trying to deal with an emergency, but it can't be used if the emergency is over and police are gathering evidence. It will be up to the voters in South Dakota to decide whether to keep or throw out a strict law banning most abortions. It was supposed to take effect July 1st, but state officials say opponents gathered enough signatures to get the measure on the ballot in November. The law will be suspended till the votes are counted in the fall. Passed by South Dakota lawmakers in March, the law would ban abortion in all cases except when needed to save the mother's life. Supporters were hoping the law would prompt a court challenge, giving the Supreme Court a chance to overturn the Roe versus Wade abortion decision, but opponents instead opted to get the measure before the public on the ballot. Acting at the request of the mayor of New Orleans, Louisiana Governor Kathleen Blanco said today she will send National Guard troops and state police to patrol the streets of New Orleans after a bloody weekend in which six people were killed. The governor did not specify how many troops and officers she planned to send. George Bush says he'll be redeeming pledges for the new Iraq during his upcoming trip to Europe. In a commencement speech at the U.S. Merchant Marine Academy today, Bush noted that while countries have pledged $13.5 billion to build democracy in Iraq, he says only $3 billion has been paid so far. This is Air America Radio News.
I do believe that there need to be secrets. I think there are things that the federal government does in the national security arena that need to be off limits.
Oh, my God. 7 past the hour. Good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on Air America Radio. Thanks for tuning in. That was, did you see that today? That was Cheney addressing the National Press Club. There's some kind of an awards ceremony, and there he was taking questions. And I swear I thought I was going to see him die on live television. He had a hard time swallowing, kept taking sips of water. He was coughing, that kind of cough that indicates really serious heart trouble, and wiped his forehead a couple of times, and was very pale. And I sat there and waited. As a matter of fact, I hollered down the stairs to Kathy and said, Kathy, you might want to, and she was already watching it on CNN Pipeline. I said, you might want to watch. We might see Cheney keel over and die right here in the middle of this Q&A session at the National Press Club. It didn't happen, but it was kind of freaky to watch. We'll have more on that a little bit later in the program tonight. Also, some sound of John Murtha taking on Rove and Bush in the Stay the Course idiocy in Iraq. And, oh, yeah, we have a moron clip we missed from Bush's Rose Garden Press Dog and Pony Show last week. You've got to hear this. And, of course, Darth Cheney croaking at the National Press Club, suffering obvious oxygen deprivation. It was almost sad to see. I've seen people in that condition before, and it usually, unless they get to a hospital pretty quickly, they're going to die. So, but, you know, when I reached deep down inside to see if there was any sympathy in there, for Cheney, I came up empty-handed. I really did. Just totally empty. It was kind of weird. More proof that George W. Bush is a filthy liar where it concerns the situation in Iraq. Washington Post got its hands on a memo that was sent by Zalmay Khalilzad, our fake ambassador, a former UNICAL lobbyist or executive or whatever the hell he was. But he's our ambassador to Iraq now. And he sent a rather desperate memo to the State Department about what was going on in Iraq. And also, Bush saying that when he came back from his little sleepover trip to Iraq, that the Iraqi people didn't want us to, quote, cut and run, close quote, wanted us there. Absolutely not true. The two top executive leaders, puppets in Iraq, requested from George Bush prior to his coming back to the States, please set a timetable and get out of our country because we're killing each other. It's slaughter. So lie upon lie upon lie. One quick item here: a Pentagon document. This is released by the Associated Press. A Pentagon document classifies homosexuality as a mental disorder. Today, now. When was it? Back in early 70s or prior to that? I don't know, late 60s, early 70s, where the American Psychiatric Association realized the stupidity of having classified homosexuality as a disorder, mental disorder, and dropped it. But that was, 30 years ago? 35 years ago? Decades ago. The Pentagon still says homosexuality is a mental disorder. According to the AP, the document outlines retirement or other discharge policies for service members with physical disabilities, and in a section on defects, lists homosexuality alongside mental retardation and personality disorders. A spokesman for the Pentagon, some freak named Jeremy Martin, Lieutenant Colonel, said the policy document is under review.
Oh, we'll take a look at it. Oh, my God, we're still saying that? Ooh.
Jesus Christ, it's unbelievable. Right before showtime, got an email here from Peggy. I'm just going to, Peggy, if you're listening, I'm going to leave out some of it for the sake of time. She writes, I'm writing because I saw an inconvenient truth yesterday. At the end of the film, I had an epiphany. In the film, Peggy writes, Gore described his lifelong consuming interest in global warming. Toward the end of the film, he said he has given the slideshow, which is the baseline of the film, over 1,000 times all over the world. The film, of course, contains scientific facts and data, descriptions of likely consequences if preventive action isn't taken, along with a timeline of reaching a point of no return. Before and after pictures of glaciers, pictures of changes in the Arctic and Antarctic, as well as likely prospects of loss of numerous animal species and huge loss of human life. Toward the end of the film, when he described his world journeying, giving his slideshow, I had a major realization. I clearly understood that Gore's probable election to the office of president would mean a sea change, would have meant a sea change in America's environmental policy. With alternative fuels coming into the forefront, conservation efforts being made, new legislation toward a cleaner environment being written, these efforts would have interfered with big energy's stranglehold over America and the world. That's the reason, Peggy writes, George W. had to be the nominee and had to be president by whatever means necessary. And Bush was rammed into office by energy interests. He was their perfect candidate. Contacts with Enron, Carlyle Group, Saudis, ExxonMobil, his and his daddy's oil interests, and who knows what else. 6 years ago, I would never even imagine that election fraud of this magnitude would be possible. But I'm certain that the will of the American people is thwarted, not once, but twice. Peggy. Yeah, That is kind of an epiphany. I hadn't thought about that myself. I don't know how many people have come to that realization, but I think you're onto something there. Peggy, thanks for writing. Here's the soundbite that we missed from the Rose Garden press conference last Wednesday. This is where he insulted the reporter with the shades on, as Bush put it. They got shades on. what? But you can cringe when you think about how the rest of the world must think we're all off our rockers for allowing this moron and the people behind him to steal the presidency. The reporter asked a question, is the tide turning in Iraq? What happened?
Yeah, I think tide turning, I was raised in the desert, but tides kind of turn. It's easy to see a tide turn. Did I say those words? Yeah, I probably ought to then reflect on those words and think that I sense something different happening in Iraq. The progress will be steady toward a goal that has clearly been defined.
Now, I want to play this again. I want to play this again. You know, first of all, the metaphor of a turning tide is horse droppings. Use a metaphor about death and murder and rage and rampage and arms and faces blown off and dead children. Let's not use a metaphor of a turning tide. But that's what the reporter asked. Is the tide turning in Iraq?
Yeah, I think tide turning, as I remember, I was raised in the desert, but tides kind of turn. It's easy to see a tide turn.
Desert and massive.
Did I say those words? Yeah, I probably ought to then reflect on those words and think that I sense something different happening in Iraq. The progress will be steady toward a goal that has clearly been defined.
What does he mean he was raised in a desert? He was raised in Maine and Connecticut? But raised in a desert? I don't know. Was he? Maybe he was. I have no idea. I don't care. Now, there's a couple of things. We'll get back to that in a minute about this goal that has been defined, something happening in Iraq. Yeah, what's happening in Iraq, you halfwit, is slaughter. It's become an abattoir over there. It is murder. It is 50 people every single day blown to pieces, you jerk. We'll get back to that. I saw something posted at Daily Coast that or posted somewhere that has really upset me. Daily Coast says he will accept no more posts about what happened on this country on September 11, 2001, unless it is the official story, the story put out there by the Bush crime family. This is astonishing to me. He says that his is a reality-based community, Daily Coast. And because it's a reality-based community, no more speculation about what really happened on September 11th. What the hell is going on? Salaam.com had launched repeat attack after repeat attack on any report that the 2004 election was stolen, including Bobby Kennedy Jr.'s piece that's out in the current issue of Rolling Stone. What the hell has happened to Daily Coast and Salon.com. Have they gone to the dark side? Has Daily Coast decided that the 911 story is... more on this in a second.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
This is Air America's Jerry Springer. The plight of refugees worldwide does not reach the headlines nearly as often as it should. But away from the headlines, there's a lot being done to help. The United Nations Refugee Agency is at the forefront, working every day to lessen the plight of millions of displaced people. June 20th is World Refugee Day. All of us at Air America Radio urge you to find out more about the work that goes on year-round and how you can help. Visit UNHCR.org or AirAmerica.com.
A good news story from ElieveGoodNews.com.
I'm passionate about two things, motorcycles and my grandchildren. But for the past 3 years, I've suffered from arthritis. The pain caused me to lose strength in my arms, and I couldn't pick up my grandchildren. My doctor suggested I try Aleve, and I definitely noticed a difference. With the pain gone, I've got the energy to pick up my grandchildren and have fun. It's fantastic.
Aleve invites you to share your good news at AleveGoodNews.com.
Use it directed for minor arthritis pain.
I feel I've tried to solve the problem diplomatically to the max and would have committed troops both in Afghanistan and Iraq knowing what I know today.
Here's what is extremely infuriating. It started out as irritating and then became infuriating to me over the course of, the past year or two, maybe three. The official story of what occurred in this country on September 11, 2001 might be true. It might have been a confluence of just unbelievably perfectly fitting coincidences. Or it might not have been. It might have been a plot engineered at the highest levels of this government. Now, you know, a lot of people say, man, people talk about that must be crazy. The only thing I can say to you is to do a Google search on Operation Northwoods. During the Kennedy administration, the very same thing was planned, only the object of our reaction would have been Cuba. Same thing. Exact same thing. So, when I listen to people who question the official story of what happened on 9/11, it stimulates me to question it myself. Now, as in any of these instances, there may be certain people involved in the so-called 9/11 truth community who I might consider or you might consider to be really out there in tinfoil hat land. And that may be because of our perspective. On the other hand, there are people who challenge the official story of what occurred on September 11th who are as solid and logical and sensible as you are and as I am. So this is a story. The attack on this country on September 11, 2001, that became the basis for U.S. foreign policy since, according to Bush and these murderous bastards who now run this country. It is the foundation of our foreign policy, what occurred on September 11th. The words September 11th are invoked every time Bush or any member of his corrupt committee of death and destruction choose to threaten or invade someone or curtail personal freedoms in this country or demolish the U.S. Constitution even further. 9/11 is the linchpin, the keystone. So why would Daily Kos say no more discussions on my website unless it's the official story? You can certainly argue that at the very least, the Bush administration totally ignored, for one reason or another, the warnings that came with headlines saying Osama determined to strike within the U.S. But the larger point here isn't questioning government policy, the very essence of freedom, no matter where you live. Isn't that what, in this country, what the founders were suggesting? Checking and double-checking. Isn't that why there were three branches, three co-equal branches of government set up? And the fourth estate established? Isn't that why the Bush-Cheney murderous rat bastard cabal is trying to destroy the idea of checks and balances? And now, an ally of the questioning left, the liberals, the people who are still left in this country with enough sense to try to question, an ally of that questioning point, Daily Kos says, no more discussions on my website about the 9/11 event unless it adheres, my words, it adheres to the official story. What the hell is wrong with people? Is it because the ad rates on Daily Kos's website now are starting to equal daily newspaper rates and this guy is getting wealthy? He just had a great big conference out in Las Vegas, right? Nothing came out of that conference that would say, no, Daily Kos, don't restrict discussion on your website. Nothing happened there? Uh, I don't know. Sometimes it's like door after door after door gets slammed. You know, just when you think, all right, Salon.com, who 3-4 years ago wrote a very flattering piece about me. One of their writers, a freelancer, wrote it. Was published at Salon. I hate to slam Salon. I've got an awful lot of good stuff from them as a source. But Salon.com now, their tech writer wrote a lengthy piece attacking Bobby Kennedy Jr.'s piece in Rolling Stone, using line after line, storyline after storyline, fact after fact that was absolutely not true. And when questioned about it, Salon.com said, look, we've covered the hell out of that story. We're not going to go there anymore. What the hell is going on? In every session now, cause America's been took. It's plain to see the oldest trick in the book. Is this is Air America. I don't know what the hell it's going to be when we come back after the break, but right now it's Air America. Freedom, lock and load, getting searched. Oil, blood, money, make these killers ride cold. Suspicious suicide, people dying, never told. It's all a part of playing God, so you think we need them. While being ass-crossed, take away your rights to freedom. They're witness to the sickness of these dictators. Hope you understand the time, brother, cause it's major. What could you
do? This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Entrepreneur. Smart word. So smart, it's almost a different language. Look it up. Here at Budget Rent-A-Car, we admire entrepreneurs, and not just for their bilingual skills, but also for their courage, and for the big thinking they show by opening a small business and joining the Budget Business Program. Yes, the Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. That's $2 back every day. No wonder Budget won the 2006 Entrepreneur Magazine Business Travel Award as the best car rental value for small businesses. Such an entrepreneur thing to do. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business to sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent Budget and rent like a genius.
A good news story from AliveGoodNews.com.
I'm passionate about two things, motorcycles and my grandchildren. But for the past 3 years, I've suffered from arthritis. The pain caused me to lose strength in my arms, and I couldn't pick up my grandchildren. My doctor suggested I try Aleve, and I definitely noticed the difference. With the pain gone, I've got the energy to pick up my grandchildren and have fun. It's fantastic.
Aleve invites you to share your good news at AliveGoodNews.com.
Use it directed for minor arthritis pain.
Hi, it's Glenn Beck. I'm the guy with a new show on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific after Nancy Grace. Why did I get a show? Well, maybe it's because I'm not afraid to say what we're all thinking. First, politicians. You get paid to work, not talk. Start fixing gas prices. Get serious about Iraq, Iran, and immigration. Next, Britney, Paris, Tom, Katie. What kind of idols do our kids have these days? I'm just looking for a little common sense here and there. Watch me, Glenn Beck, every night on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific.
got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in, to kind of catapult the propaganda.
26 before the hour, Albert writes in, Mike, about 2 weeks ago, John Aravosis of America blog similarly posted that he would purge any posts related to the so-called conspiracy theories that challenge the official story of 9/11. Albert writes, I don't understand this either, but the left blogs, for some reason, seem to find any discussion, even emotional venting, about the 9/11 event, not something they want to post, I guess, is he didn't finish his sentence there, Albert. I was surprised that even Greg Palast doesn't seem very inquisitive on this matter. The same is true for left radio programs. How many on Air America broach the topic at all? But with left bloggers actually forbidding the topic from being discussed is beyond my comprehension. And I added, yes, Albert, there's a couple of things you had in there I just left out because I just want to get the gist of your email. Prairie 2 says, hey, Mike, we are well into the end game with these people. If a reporter is beaten to death or a Senate investigator is beaten nearly to death, it's reported as nothing but a mugging. If somebody who should know better goes over to the dark side, we shouldn't be surprised. Not everyone is willing to die for their country. I don't know. I don't like this. You know, I wonder if at Daily Coast, if he would allow this to be discussed. This is from Paul Sheridan at Muckraker Report. The FBI says no hard evidence connecting bin Laden to 9/11. Would Daily Coast allow that published on the website? This goes back a week. There was an email circulating through Internet news groups. And it brought attention to the FBI's most wanted terrorist webpage for Osama bin Laden. In the email, the question is asked, why doesn't bin Laden appear on the most wanted, or his appearance on the most wanted poster make any connection with the events of September 11, 2001? The FBI says on its bin Laden webpage that bin Laden is wanted in connection with the August 7, 1998 bombings of the United States embassies in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, and Nairobi, Kenya. According to the FBI, these attacks kill over 200 people. The FBI concludes its reason for wanting bin Laden by saying, quote, in addition, bin Laden is a suspect in other terrorist attacks throughout the world. Now, according to this, on June 5th, Muckraker Report contacted FBI headquarters. They talked with a guy named Rex Toom, chief of investigative publicity for the FBI. When asked why there's no mention of 9/11 on bin Laden's most wanted webpage, Mr. Toom said, quote, the reason why 9/11 is not mentioned on bin Laden's most wanted page is because the FBI has no hard evidence connecting bin Laden to 9/11. And Sheridan, who wrote this blog, said, surprised by the ease in which this FBI spokesman made such an astonishing statement, I asked, well, how is this possible? Mr. Toom continued, bin Laden has not been formally charged in connection to 9/11. So I asked, how does that work? And Toom continued, the FBI gathers evidence. Once evidence is gathered, it's turned over to the Department of Justice. The Department of Justice then decides whether it has enough evidence to present to a federal grand jury. In the case of the 1998 U.S. embassies being bombed, bin Laden has been formally indicted and charged by a grand jury. He has not been formally indicted and charged in connection with 9/11 because the FBI has no hard evidence connecting bin Laden to 9/11. And then Sheridan goes on to write, first and foremost, if the U.S. government does not have enough hard evidence connecting bin Laden to 9/11, how is it possible that it had enough evidence to invade Afghanistan to, quote, smoke him out of his cave, end quote? The federal government, Bush, claims to have invaded Afghanistan to, quote, root out bin Laden and the Taliban, end quote. Through the talking heads in the mainstream media, Sheridan writes, the Bush administration told the American people that Osama bin Laden was public enemy number one and responsible for the deaths of nearly 3,000 people on September 11, 2001. Yet nearly 5 years later, the FBI says it has no hard evidence connecting bin Laden to 9/11. And then Sheridan says, next is the bin Laden confession video that was released by the U.S. government on December 13th, 2001. Most Americans remember the video. It was a video showing bin Laden with a few of his comrades recounting with delight the September 11 terrorist attacks against the United States. The Department of Defense then issued a press release to accompany this video in which Rumsfeld said, quote, there's no doubt Bin Laden's responsibility for the September 11th attacks before the tape was discovered, end quote. Now, what Rumsfeld implied by his statement was that Bin Laden was the known mastermind behind 9/11 even before the so-called confession video was circulated. And the video simply served to confirm what the U.S. government already knew, that Bin Laden was responsible for the 9/11 attacks. In a CNN article regarding the Bin Laden tape, then New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani said, quote, "The tape removes any doubt that the U.S. military campaign targeting Bin Laden and his associates is more than justified," close quote. Senator Richard Shelby, Republican of Alabama, the vice chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, said, quote, "The tape's release is central to informing people in the outside world who don't believe Bin Laden was involved in the September 11th attacks," close quote. Shelby went on to say, quote, "I don't know how they can be in denial after they see this tape," close quote. Well, apparently the FBI isn't convinced by the tape confession, so why is Senator Shelby? Now, the writer here, Sheridan, goes on to note that media played the video as if it was authentic. So the question then, why doesn't the FBI view this so-called confession video as hard evidence? After all, if the FBI is invested in crime like drug trafficking, and discovers a video of members of a drug cartel openly talking about a successful distribution operation in the U.S., that video would be presented to a federal grand jury. The identified participants in the video would be indicted. And if captured, the video alone would serve as sufficient evidence to net a conviction in a federal court. So why is the Bin Laden confession video not carrying the same weight with the FBI? Jesus. Now, if you want to discuss this, don't take it to Daily Kos website. Just don't do it. Because for some reason, all of a sudden, the so-called liberal left or progressive blogs are saying, no, we're not going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about theft of the election. We're not going to talk about any of this stuff. We are a reality-based community. We are a reality-based community. We don't want to talk. What the hell is going on? Now, I realize that Daily Kos has not been a real great friend of the certain left or liberal causes or individuals. I understand that. But you kind of suck that up, I guess. But this? I don't know. What is the rush? What is the insistence? But the story put out by the feds, by the Bush crime family, shall not be tampered with. And anyone who questions the collapse of buildings, the stand down of the U.S. Air Force, the total blackout by NORAD, the lack of body parts in black boxes, all this stuff. And if you bring it up and talk about it, he's a conspiracy theorist. This is an essential story in U.S. history. It will become like the attack on Pearl Harbor, like the battles at Lexington and Concord. It is a part of the fabric now of what this country is. And since September 11th, the entire policy, of the Bush administration, domestic and foreign, has been built on what is considered to be the official story of what occurred in this country on September 11th, 2001. And that's not to be challenged. Daily Kos or Salon or whoever the hell it is says, no, we're not going there. No, we're going to talk about that. I don't expect this putrid mainstream media to challenge and beat the hell out of this lying, fake story. Mainstream media is dead. It's dead. It stinks. What you smell is its rotting corpse. But online, where I thought the hope lay in somehow, some way, ferreting out the truth, and the truth has already been decided. I don't know what the hell the truth is, but neither does Daily Kos. I don't get this. I just don't. I get a lot of emails from people. Kathy and I were talking about this today. I get a lot of emails from people that that say, you know, until I heard your program, I thought I was the only one out here. I'm starting to go crazy because I don't like what Bush is doing. I don't like what's happening to our country. And I can't talk to anybody about it. I found your program and I realized there's a community out there who feels like I feel, yada, yada, yada. And I, you know, that's kind of an ongoing theme in so many emails that we get. And they still come this way, you know, even though we've been screaming and scratching and yelling about this for 4.5 years now. 5 years. And you know, that, Kathy and I talked about it this afternoon, like, yeah, that you know, but it's sometimes it seems like that community is getting, not that the community is getting smaller, but the outlets, the venues to discuss or to talk about these questions is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And now when you have established online communities that were built by progressive thought and liberal ideas and reaction against these sons of bitches in Washington, when you have those online communities now saying, no, we're not going to discuss that anymore. You put something like that up, I'll take it down. Very simple. Jesus.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Syriana arrives on DVD June 20th, starring 2005 Academy Award winner George Clooney, Matt Damon, and Jeffrey Wright, and directed by Stephen Gagan, the Academy Award-winning writer of Traffic. Syriana, an uncommonly intelligent story, an explosive tour of global petropolitics, says USA Today. Newsday proclaims that Syriana raises the bar for every thriller that will come in its wake, and Time Magazine declares that Syriana is light years from the standard Hollywood movie. Syriana, own it on DVD Tuesday, June 20th, rated R for violence and language.
Hey, True Seekers, Mike Malloy here. Are you as alarmed as I am by the assault on our freedoms by the religious right? An essential element of freedom is the right to choose or reject religious beliefs. And this is why I fully support the Freedom From Religion Foundation as it takes the lead in challenging the growing threat from the religious right in the United States. If you'd like further information on the dangers of living in a theocracy, please call 800-335-4021. 800-335-4021 or visit their website, ffrf.org. We'll be right back.
Negro with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's more Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
10 before the hour, here's an email from Paul. He says, I think Daily Coast is doing it because the Republicans man the page, Coast's page, with things that they can use to make the left look bad, where they use Fox News to play out the propaganda on O'Reilly and the like. Coast must think that for Democrats to win in 2006, they have to look more mainstream. Let's not forget, excuse me, Paul writes, that America, for better or worse, is a very idealistic country. Even a cogent suspicion of 9/11 conspiracy would be seen as crazy, like the ravings of a Nazi. We cannot do anything about that idealism without years of information being given to Americans, without the censors of elite media gatekeeping. Let's not forget also that Noam Chomsky has dismissed 9/11 conspiracy as well. I think he's right, Paul writes. The left cannot ever be taken seriously unless we are seen as mainstream. Better that we use evidence that can be backed up. That is what makes us different from the right, who go with any story. Maybe I'm not making myself clear here. Let me say it again. I don't know what happened on September 11, 2001. But here's something I do know. You don't ever, ever, ever accept at face value what a government that has clearly indicated its inclinations toward fascism really are. You don't accept what that government says at face value. You question, you prod, you probe, you investigate, you put together commissions, you put together groups of citizens who take a look at the evidence, you bring in experts, you challenge, you tear down the official story, and if the official story really is what happens, the official story reassembles itself right before your eyes. I am not saying that I know what happened on September 11th. I'm saying that the mere act of declaring it a subject that shall not be discussed from any point of view other than the official Bush crime family point of view is asinine. It is dangerous. It is counter to the idea of a free society. What the hell is going on? Well, I guess Daily Coast then would not allow this article from the San Francisco Examiner, June 11, 2002, thanks to Eleanor. Stanley Hilton, remember him? He's a San Francisco attorney and a former aide to Senator Bob Dole. Hilton now figures his case is stronger because of a coalition of attorneys, victims' families, and bipartisan legislators who gathered in Washington on Monday to condemn the government's lack of action in preventing the September 11th attacks. Hilton is the San Francisco attorney who filed a $7 billion lawsuit against Bush and other government officials for, quote, allowing, close quote, the terrorist attacks to occur. Among Hilton's allegations, Bush conspired to create the September 11th attacks for his own political gain and has been using Osama bin Laden as a scapegoat. Hilton said he has information that bin Laden died several years ago of kidney failure. Hilton said, quote, I hope it will expose the fact that there are numbers of people in the government, including Bush and his top assistants, who wanted this to happen, end quote, close quote. His class action lawsuit named 10 defendants, including Cheney, Rice, Rumsfeld, Norman Mineta. Hilton said he represents the families of 14 victims and 400 plaintiffs are involved nationwide. Blah, blah, blah. Hilton, Senator Dole's former aide, has been publicly critical of conservatives in books he has written about Dole and the Clinton sex scandal. Hilton, who said he has sources within the FBI, CIA, National Security Agency, Naval Intelligence, demands Bush's impeachment and believes the truth will come out in trial. Blah, blah, blah. It goes on. This was in the San Francisco Examiner, Tuesday, the 11th of June, 2002, and republished at truthout.org. Do you see articles like that anymore? No. I hate this. I cannot believe that media, mainstream or not mainstream, internet, television, I don't care what it is, are so willing to not challenge what happened on the official story of what happened on September 11th. Are these people not aware of the declaration by the Project for New American Century that I believe, I understand now, is disbanding itself because their dirty, filthy work on the United States has been completed? That's one way to look at it, right? But are reporters, I don't care if they work for Times or whomever, are they not, the New York Times, are they not aware that PNAC suggested that it was going to take an attack pretty much like this in order to get what they wanted? Are we not aware? I mean, we're all supposed to sign on now to just close our eyes and accept what this filthy regime tells us? We know there is no doubt that they lie about everything, and yet this essential element of the Bush crime family's existence is truth? Not to even be discussed. Maybe it is truth, but not to be discussed, not to be challenged. It's really sick. What happened to us? Really? I mean, seriously, what happened? We're not to talk about election fraud that is so obvious it just rips your eyes open and screams into your skull cavity? We're not supposed to talk about that? We're not supposed to talk about the last three elections that were just absolutely nothing more than fraud? And we're not supposed to challenge the stories of 9/11? What happened to us? Does anybody have an answer to that? Does anybody have an answer to that? What has happened to us? All right. Break here. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
On Air America Radio.
My one favorite spread has been Smart Balance Buttery Spread. I'm Bob Harris, and I've got another favorite spread that I think you'll love. It's new Smart Balance Omega Peanut Butter. It contains no hydrogenated oil, no trans fatty acid, no refined sugar, all natural ingredients, and 1,000 milligrams of omega-3s per serving. New Smart Balance Omega Peanut Butter with 1,000 milligrams of omega-3. We deep roast premium quality peanuts to make it taste great.
Hi, it's Glenn Beck. I know. Who's he? I'm the guy with a new show on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific after Nancy Grace. Now, why would Headline News give me a show?
Maybe
because politically correct really isn't in my vocabulary. It's time somebody says what we're all thinking, from politics to pop culture. Every night, Headline News sets me loose, not to save the world, just to look for some common sense. Watch me, Glenn Beck, every night on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific after Nancy Grace.
Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. Iraq's prime minister says Iraqi forces will assume responsibility for security next month in a southern province. Nouri al-Maliki says Iraqi forces will take over for British, Japanese, and Australian forces. British Prime Minister Tony Blair's office says the coalition forces will move to a support role. The spokesman says the upcoming handover is a significant step. Al-Maliki says his National Unity Government plans to gradually take over security for all of Iraq's 14 provinces within the next 18 months. The Secretary of State warning North Korea that test firing a long-range missile would be considered a provocative act. Condoleezza Rice says the U.S. will talk with other international diplomats if North Korea fires an intercontinental ballistic missile, and she says it would be taken with utmost seriousness. Officials say North Korea's latest long-range weapon is apparently fueled, assembled, and ready to go. One senior official says the fueling process is not like other readiness tracked by the U.S. because it's difficult to reverse. The official says that probably means the test will go ahead. The U.S. ambassador to Japan says economic sanctions against North Korea are an option. The new United Nations Human Rights Council has been inaugurated by Secretary General Kofi Annan. He says it's a great new chance to renew the struggle for global human rights. The now-defunct Human Rights Commission was discredited in recent years because some countries with terrible human rights records used the membership to protect one another from condemnation. The first meeting of the new 47-member council opened today and runs through June 30th. Two investment brokers were indicted today on charges they conspired to bribe a former top official at the Ohio Workers' Compensation Fund with the use of their Florida condominium in exchange for state business. Michael Lewis and Daniel O'Neill managed stock investments for the $15 billion insurance fund for injured workers in Ohio while they were working at firms that got hundreds of thousands of dollars in commissions from the agency. These are the latest people charged in the year-long political scandal in Ohio that also led to ethics charges against Governor Bob Taft, who pleaded no contest to failing to report gifts. Prosecutors had promised more charges after Terrence Gasper, the Bureau's former chief financial officer, pleaded guilty in state and federal court earlier this month to taking kickbacks from brokers and others who wanted to handle the Ohio State Fund's investments. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. 6 and a half past the hour. Every time something is written by Air America, never, ever, 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 ever is this program mentioned. In most markets, we're on late. It's hard to deal with sometimes. I have to admit that. It's like we don't exist. And I think the people who tune into this program, the kind of the loop that we have going here is really important in the political discussion in this country. When I make these little jaunts around the country, get invited by a radio station to go to a certain city or there's a conference someplace, what never fails to amaze me is how warmly I'm received, as though, I've got a midday program or I've got an afternoon program, when in fact I don't. I have a program that's on late at night. The reason I'm talking about this, our good friend in New York who emails me a lot, Carol, wrote to me about an article that's out in a very short article in Counterpunch right now, written by John Walsh, entitled Tears of a Clown. And he talks about how Al Franken is really kind of aligned with George Bush insofar as pulling the troops out of Iraq. That's not the point of the why I'm bringing it up, though. Whatever John Walsh writes about Al Franken, based on what he hears Al Franken talk about, that's between John Walsh and Al Franken. I couldn't care less. But Carol wrote back and said, she says, I emailed him back saying that he should write an article about your show, since you are anti-war and want to bring the troops home. You seem to be what he's looking for. He emailed me back and said that since your show is on at night, your listenership is infinitesimal. Infinitesimal. See, it's like if you listen to this program, you don't exist. I know I don't exist, ever. Practically in any market, except with the people who count, the people who tune in to find out what the hell is being said on real liberal talk radio. It's getting to the point. It is getting to the point where a lot of programs I listen to or attempt to listen to that present themselves as being liberal or progressive are not. I'm not going to name names. Don't have to. You're way ahead of me on that one. But Jesus Christ, it gets tiresome sometimes, especially Counterpunch. Do these people not understand what this program is all about? Our listenership is infinitesimal. Is it really? Voted the top program, radio program in New York City before Air America took the program off the air so they could put on the Satellite Sisters. When I was on in Chicago, the top program in Chicago. And yeah, I was on in Chicago on WLS the same time, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Jesus God, it does. I mean, after a while, it gets very tiresome. It gets so tiresome for this to constantly go on. Oh, well, you know, whatever's discussed in the Malloy program, it doesn't really matter because he's on late at night. And then this John Walsh, right once before Kathy, he wrote something about Air America and completely left our program off. And you emailed, somebody emailed him and said, you know, why do you stop your article at 10 p.m. when the best show on Air America comes on? It gets frustrating.
Actually, I believe that was a writer for The Nation.
No, the Nation too left us off, and then you wrote a letter to the editor of The Nation that got published, and I'm very proud of you. You just very in the inimitable Kathy Bay way reamed them a new body orifice. I couldn't have written that letter because it never would have gone anyplace because it would have had MFs and GDs and all sorts of bad words in it.
Well, it was.
And we were running the Nation Minute in our program.
That was sort of the hook, but it was so ironic to me, and it was.
Right. This is before they started sponsoring. Rachel. Rachel.
Right.
Was it Rachel's program?
Rachel's program in the morning.
Oh.
But yeah, the Nation.
No. That's.
Well, they sponsor Laura Flanders.
Right.
But
Laura Flanders.
The Nation Minute now runs during Rachel Maddow's program in the morning, which is fine. But the irony is that at the time that von Hoffman wrote the piece, it was rather unflattering, actually, about Air America. It was sort of chiding and poking fun.
I mean, Nicholas von Hoffman used to be a force for liberalism in this country when he had a syndicated column. Now he's—I don't know what his story is.
But the irony, again, the irony was that the Nation Minute had been running smack dab in the middle of our show on in New York,
and they don't even mention it.
And we weren't even on. And I thought, my goodness, you know, they're not even aware that poor von Hoffman's missing his own Nation Minute.
Bin Laden. Now, who sent this to me? This is an article from September 17th, 2001, from CNN, 6 days after the attack on this country. Islamic militant leader Osama bin Laden, the man the United States considers the prime suspect in last week's terrorist attacks on New York and Washington, denied any role in the actions believed to have killed thousands. In a statement issued to the Arabic television satellite channel Al Jazeera, bin Laden said, quote, "The U.S. government has consistently blamed me for being behind every occasion its enemies attack it. I would like to assure the world that I did not plan the recent attacks, which seems to have been planned by people for personal reasons. I've been living in the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan and following its leader's rules. The current leader does not allow me to exercise such operations." Blah, 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 blah. It goes on, goes on, goes on. Now, the point here is, okay, is that really bin Laden making a statement at Al Jazeera, or is it a CIA plant who made the statement, or is the whole thing a joke? Is Al Jazeera a CIA front operation? Who the hell knows? But doesn't it stand to reason that 6 days after the most profound attack on the United States since 1941, that if it were an attack by an Islamic militant like Osama bin Laden, would he not have stood up on his hind legs and crowed for the world to see this new cock-a-doodle-doo rooster? Look what I did to the great Satan! Don't you think? But you're not going to discuss that on Daily Coast. Oh, no, 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 no. Because Daily Coast, who admits he used to be a Republican and worked for the re-election of Henry Hyde, says no. No. It's not going to be on my website. No. Jesus God. All right. Kathy's saying, take a call. She's watching my eyeballs bulge out here. Pat is calling from Atlanta. Pat, welcome to the program. Hey, Pat.
You know what? I have an idea of what it is.
Okay.
And my idea is it's controlled opposition. Like you just said, this guy who's head of Daily Coast, he's an ex, a quote-unquote Republican.
Right.
Okay? And he's put together this website. And what's happened as a result of the Internet is that this 9/11 truth thing is just taken off like wildfire because there are so many holes in the official story, quote unquote.
Right.
There are huge holes, and you know what they are. We don't need to get into all the details of that right now.
Right.
But this I can't believe how much it's exploded. Okay, no pun intended, of course. And I've been studying it now for over 2 years. I don't know exactly everything that happened that day either. But I know the story they're telling us isn't it. It's like the same reason, why doesn't the Nation ever bring up about the 2004 and 2000 elections? And there's documented proof that these were stolen.
Well, in defense of the Nation, they challenge it constantly. They really do. I mean, I've read article after article after article, personal columns, in the Nation. So the Nation does challenge.
Okay, well, that's good. I stand corrected.
Yeah, I subscribe to the Nation and have for, oh, God, probably 15 years. Trust me on that, Pat.
But you can also explain why somebody like Noam Chomsky
won't hold on to the
9/11 stuff either. Now, maybe he doesn't want to be marginalized with, you know, that.
Well, he already is. Noam Chomsky is the most disrespected expert on Middle East policy in the United States. He's constantly being linked now, linked as a kook, along with the people like Michael Moore. Noam Chomsky is brilliant. He's a linguist. He's everything he is. Why he says there's no truth, and I don't know what his official statement is, but what I hear is he doesn't believe that anything happened other than what was officially reported by the Bush administration regarding 9/11. I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, and I don't know if he has seen any of the other documentation or any of the videos or any of that stuff that's out. But there is so much that's going on, though, I think, that also is contrived to pit the right and the left against each other, because if we're fighting with each other about these,
right.
about all this other bull,
well,
then we're
yeah,
not focusing on the real cause.
Right.
The
that's
problem,
the,
we're not
that,
focusing on the truth.
That's always been...
You know, like, how do we deal with the poverty in this country?
I know. Hey, listen, Pat.
We get rid of the Federal Reserve.
Pat, hold on. I've got a break here. I appreciate you checking in. We got a break. Thanks a lot, Pat. That's always been the way it's been. You know, just pit everybody against everybody else.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 100,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals on the iMed and Cigna Dental Networks. Call right now and you can try the Optimum Health Discount Card risk-free for 30 days. That's right, your membership entitles you to full access to the entire Cigna Dental Network and iMed Network for you to try risk-free for 30 days. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Start saving up to 60% off now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
detainees. And the allegations by people who were held in detention, people who hate America, people that have been trained to disassemble. That means not tell the truth.
It's about 22 past the hour. Let's go back to your phone calls. Mike is calling from Manhattan. Mike, welcome to the program. Hey, Mike.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was going to talk about Daily Kos a bit, but specifically about 9/11, I must admit that I originally would have considered all of the alternate versions of what happened to be crazy. Of course, they're really hard to believe, and I think that's the problem for most people. There's
well, Mike, let me just jump in, because let me just say this, and well, they might be.
The alternative
versions might be crazy. The burr under my saddle tonight is that we are being told by the so-called online community that the discussion will not be held.
I understand. And you know what? But now I tend to believe the alternate versions. I mean, they're probably.
I hear you.
I mean, that would have been my reaction originally. Now, I had friends, for example. I have a friend who worked in the World Trade Center building, and, sometime before September 11th, and then got a different job. And she said, they always used to worry about this type of thing. There was always there were always a lot of security measures around the building, and suddenly those were being, she was there at a point when they were relaxing security. Suddenly it was no longer that important. And, for some reason, she was very suspicious. I said, no way. Now, there's no way that could have happened. And I start to look into the theories. If you look at loose change, which you've mentioned many times, I mean, if you discount, say, three-quarters of that, I mean, there are certain points that are just very difficult to explain away.
Right.
Obviously, something happened. I'm at the point of saying, well, at the very least, they knew it was going to happen, and they allowed it to happen, but I'm more inclined to say they helped it to happen. How did those buildings just collapse?
Well, the
steel just melted.
Right. I know. I hadn't planned on getting into this discussion tonight.
Okay, but, that's fine. I mean, but now then, if you don't mind, could you enlighten me on one point? I can't find where Daily Kos actually says they don't want to. I really can't find it, and I thought maybe they were hacked or something, because. I went into their website, and I thought that just doesn't sound.
No, it's. Let me see here. If you go to, this link is. Go to democraticunderground.com. Have you ever gone there?
Oh yeah, sure.
Okay, go to democraticunderground.com. Go to the general discussion page right now. And there's a thread started. Here's the Kos ban that Malloy mentioned, and the link is there.
Okay.
So just go to democraticunderground.com.
Let's see. So that's go to Democratic Underground, and then where?
And then go to General Discussion.
General Discussion.
Right. And it's in the top five or six or seven links there. You'll see it.
Big forums, more forums, that kind of thing?
Yeah,
it's general
discussion.
General discussion.
Right, just go there and you'll see it. All right?
I see. Okay, well, great show as usual.
All right, Mike, thanks for checking in. I appreciate it. This is not the program I had planned tonight, okay? And I've been going on here, it's been going on for an hour and 25 minutes. I've got other things I want to cover. It's infuriating. Al Gore comes out with this film. And I have seen nothing but attacks. There's been some support, but you know what I'm saying. In the mainstream media, they laugh at it. They try to denigrate him. I watched a bit of Keith Olbermann tonight. Had an interview with Gore. And Oberman, just as devil's advocate, brings out this report that, you know, another one of these scientists who say that Al Gore is wrong, that chunks of glaciers dropping into the ocean is perfectly normal, and yada, yada, yada. And it just never stops. It never stops. I don't care what the issue is. If it's global warming, if it's environmental degradation, if it is species going extinct, what the hell is wrong with us? That's the question. This was not what I wanted to talk about tonight. But this 9/11 stuff, I'm sick of being of hearing that if you want to challenge the authority that says, no, this is the official story and everything else is nonsense. If you want to challenge that point of view, now you are being labeled, or I am being labeled, as some kind of a tinfoil hat wearer. And I'm just goddamn tired of it. You know what I'm saying? I am just sick of that. Because the truth is out there, and I will flat guarantee you we're not getting it from George W. Bush or any of these thugs.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're $10,000 in credit card debt or more and are making minimum monthly payments but getting nowhere, Debt Relief USA has the answer. Call 1-800-509-4205 now. Debt Relief USA has ways through special programs to reduce your principal and interest. You may qualify to reduce your credit card debt as much as 75%. Just call 1-800-509-4205 for a risk-free debt analysis. Stop losing sleep over annoying, harassing phone calls. Don't even consider bankruptcy until you know your options. We cannot help unless you call 1-800-509-4205 today. Our debt relief specialists understand and know the answer to getting you out of credit card debt fast. Just one call will put your life back on track. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card debt, call for a free debt evaluation at 1-800-509-4205 for the relief you need. Debt Relief USA is helping Americans resecure their financial future one client at a time, excluding Maryland and New York.
Siriana arrives on DVD June 20th, starring 2005 Academy Award winner George Clooney, Matt Damon, and Jeffrey Wright, and directed by Stephen Gagan, the Academy Award-winning writer of Traffic. Siriana, an uncommonly intelligent story, an explosive tour of global petropolitics, says USA Today. Newsday proclaims that Siriana raises the bar for every thriller that will come in its wake, and Time Magazine declares that Siriana is light years from the standard Hollywood movie. Siriana, own it on DVD Tuesday, June 20th, rated R for violence and language.
Hi, it's Glenn Beck. I'm the guy with a new show on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific after Nancy Grace. Why did I get a show? Well, maybe it's because I'm not afraid to say what we're all thinking. First, politicians. You get paid to work, not talk. Start fixing gas prices. Get serious about Iraq, Iran, and immigration. Next, Britney, Paris, Tom, Katie. What kind of idols do our kids have these days? I'm just looking for a little common sense here and there. Watch me, Glenn Beck, every night on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific.
a soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
Twenty-six before the hour. I want to get off this topic if I can, because I've just got we've got some other stuff to cover here that is important. Just let me conclude with this. If any of the blogs or websites picks up on what we discussed here tonight, or what I was screaming about here tonight, and tries to change it into something that it's not, please, for the record, let's be real clear on something. I have no earthly idea what happened on September 11th, and I concede that maybe the story put out by the Bush administration just might be true. My problem is in being told that I'm not to discuss it, or I'm not to take it to a certain website, or I'm not to discuss it on this. No, nobody's ever told me not to discuss it on this radio program, but I'm just saying, you know, this idea that this essential moment in our recent history is off the table for discussion. It is what the Bush crime family says it is. And the audacity of anyone to make that statement, I don't care if it's people on the left or the right. I expect it from people on the right, from organizations on the right. That is their raison d'etre, is to further propagandize the American people. But on the left, or people who claim to be on the left, or claim to be moderates, or claim to be centrists, that all of a sudden this is a topic not for discussion? That's what is the irritant for me tonight. To take it one step further, and then we're going to move on. I truly believe, in my heart of hearts, that at the very least, the Bush maniacs let this attack happen on the United States. I can't believe anything other than that. I mean, that's the baseline for me. From that, then whatever the science or investigation proves, I'll go with that. But I am not going to sit here, a rational, reasonably intelligent person with a hair trigger temper, sure, sit here and say that, oh yeah, what happened on September 11th, as propagandized by the Bush crime family, is the exact truth. No, folks, I'm not going to do that. Not now, not ever. Because these son of a bitches lied us into a war that has resulted in 30, 50 times those 3,000 people that were killed on our soil being murdered. I'm going to sit here and say, yeah, that story is the real story. No, not on your life. Not ever. I don't know what it is, but it ain't that. So if somebody takes off on what was said on this program tonight by me and says, well, you know, Malloy with his infinitesimal audience went off his rocker last night, all I can say to you is, you know, refer back, go to White Rose Society and listen to the tape from tonight, or listen to the download from tonight. I am saying that when I am told by so-called liberals or moderates or leftists or anybody, don't question authority on one of the most elemental acts against this country in the past 100 years, I'm going to sit here and say, oh, yes, sir, not on your ass. And anybody who suggests that is part of the problem, not the solution. I don't give a damn if it's Daily Coast or somebody on this network. I don't care. That's enough. Because I'm getting too pissed. And it wasn't even on the menu tonight. All right, let's move over to Jack Murtha. I don't want to take any more calls on this, so I'm going to ask our associate producer, New York D, go back and rescreen the calls. I'm not trying to censor anybody. I've got to do the program that we set up for tonight, at least part of it. So no offense, no censorship. I'm not telling you can't talk about it. I'm just saying, look, you know, I want to do this. And I've got a couple of quotes here from Jack Murtha on Meet the Press Sunday, on Press the Meat on Sunday. Let's do these, Kathy. Do you have those ready? All right. He had some choice words about this staying the course lie that Bush and these murderous bastards are convincing the American public slowly, slowly. 2-3 percentage points here, 2-3 percentage points. They've got to stay the course. Got to stay the course. Russert asked a question and then played a clip of this monster, Karl Rove. This is what Russert said. Karl Rove, the principal political advisor of the president, went to New Hampshire on Monday last Monday. He talked about Democrats who voted for the war and who have now changed their opinion. Here's what he had to say, and I'll give you a chance to respond. Now, here's what Rove said. Like too many Democrats, it strikes me they are ready to give the green light to go to war, but when it gets tough and when it gets difficult, they fall back on that party's old pattern of cutting and running. They may be with you at the first shots, but they're not going to be there for the last tough battles. They are wrong and profoundly wrong in their approach. That's what Karl Rove said. So here's Mirtha explaining that Karl Rove shouldn't sit on his well-padded lily-white ass and talk about fighting and dying in Iraq.
He's in New Hampshire. He's making a political speech. He's sitting in his air-conditioned office with a big fat backside saying, stay the course. That's not a plan. I mean, this guy, I don't know what his military experience is, but that's a political statement. This is a policy difference between me and the White House. I disagree completely with what he's saying. Now, let's give me an example. When we went to Beirut, I said to President Reagan, get out. The other day we were doing debate, and they said, well, Beirut was a different situation. We cut and run. We didn't cut and run. President Reagan made the decision to change direction because he knew he couldn't win it. Even in Somalia, President Clinton made the decision, we have to change direction. Even with tax cuts. When we had a tax cut under Reagan, we then had a tax increase because you had changed direction. We need to change direction. We can't win a war like this. This guy sitting back there criticizing political criticism, getting paid by the public taxpayer, and he's saying to us, we're winning this war and they're running. We got to change direction. That's what we have to do. You can't sit there in the air-conditioned office and tell these troops they're carrying 70 pounds on their back inside these armored vessels and hit with IEDs every day, seeing their friends blown up, their buddies blown up, and he says, stay the course. Yeah, it's easy to say that from Washington, D.C.
Yeah, and it's easy to say it from a radio studio someplace, too, isn't it? More on Mirtha on staying the course. Russer next asks, quote, the president says stay the course, that within the next 6 months Iraq will be secure under the direction of the new prime minister, and to do anything less now would be irresponsible.
Stay the course is stay and pay. And this is the thing that has worried me right along. We're spending $8 billion a month, $300 million a day. And to give you some perspective of what that means, Gates said, I'm going to quit the corporation or I'm going to less time with the corporation. We're going to give away $30 billion. That's 4 months of the cost of this war. On the floor the other day, you may have heard this one fellow says, we're fighting this war. We're not fighting this war. 1% of the American people, these young men and women are fighting this war with heavy packs, with 70 pounds of equipment, with helmets on, and 130 degrees. That's who's fighting this war. And they say, stay the course. There's no plan. You open up this plan for victory. There's no plan there. It's just stay the course. That doesn't solve any problem. It's worse today than it was 6 months ago when I spoke out initially. When I spoke out, the garbage wasn't being collected, oil production below pre-war level, all those things indicated to me we weren't winning this, and it's the same today, if not worse. Anbar province, there's not one project been done in Anbar province. 2 million people live there. They have no water at all, no oil production. They have no electricity at all in that province where is the heartland of the defense. The first 6 months we went in there, not a shot was fired. So it shows you how it's changed. What happened with Sirkawi could have been done from the outside. It was done from the outside. Our planes went in from the outside. So there's no reason in the world that they can't redeploy the troops. They become the targets. They're caught in the Civil War, and I feel very strongly about it.
Yeah, but don't talk about it on the Daily Coast website there, John. Or be careful what you say. Salon.com might pick it up, John. Or so-called liberal talk show hosts may glom onto it, John.
Editor and publisher, Greg Mitchell, writing at Editor and Publisher. This is from yesterday. The Washington Post has obtained a cable marked sensitive that it says shows that just before Bush left on a surprising trip last Monday to the Green Zone in Baghdad for an upbeat assessment of the situation there, the U.S. Embassy in Iraq painted a starkly different portrait of increasing danger and hardship faced by its Iraqi employees, not to mention U.S. troops. The cable outlines, the Post reported Sunday, the daily worsening conditions for those who live outside the heavily guarded international zone, harassment, threats, the employees' constant fears their neighbors will discover they work for the U.S. government. It's actually far worse than that, as the details published below indicate, which include references to abductions, threats to women's rights, ethnic cleansing. A PDF copy of the cable shows that it was sent to the Secretary of State in Washington, D.C. from American Embassy Baghdad on 6 June. The type name at the very bottom is Khalizad, the name of the U.S. ambassador. though it's not known if this means he wrote the memo or merely approved it. The subject of the memo is, quote, snapshots from the office. Public affairs staff show strains of social discord, end quote. Among the troubling reports in here, personal safety depends on good relations with the neighborhood governments who barricade streets and ward off outsiders. The central government is not relevant. People no longer trust their neighbors. One embassy employee had a brother-in-law kidnapped. Another received a death threat and then fled the country with their family. Iraqi staff at the embassy beginning in March and picking up in May report pervasive harassment from Islamist and or militia groups. Cuts in power and rising fuel prices have diminished the quality of life. Harassment of female Iraqis. It's now becoming dangerous for men to wear shorts in public. And they no longer allow the children to play outside in shorts. People who wear jeans have also come under attack. And it goes on and on and on. And this psychopathic son of a bitch in the White House comes back from his little sleepover trip and says, oh, well, freedom is on the march. Freedom, you are winning. We got to stay the course.
And if all our good intentions simply pave the road to hell, are the parking lots their fate, and the pathetic souls as well?
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now, 800-858-5800 for The Forward. That's 800-858-5800. 5800.
I get good advice, if you will, from their people based upon how we're doing business and how we're operating, over and above just sort of the normal by-the-books auditing arrangement.
It's about 9 before the hour. Regarding the Washington Post obtaining that shocking memo from the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad to the Secretary of State, which would be Condoleezza Rice, right? It goes on and on and on and on. Go to editorandpublisher.com, and it was published yesterday. Greg Mitchell, who wrote it, and you can find it. But what life in Iraq is like through the eyes of the American ambassador, Khalilzad, as reported to him apparently by Iraqis who work inside, excuse me, that carefully protected and heavily fortified green zone. But it should be read. Fuel lines 12 hours long. 1 hour of power to run electricity or air conditioning in people's homes. 1 hour every 6 hours. It just goes on and on and on and on and on. If somebody finds out out in the community that an Iraqi works in the American Green Zone, that's a death sentence. It goes on and on. But Cheney, at the luncheon at the National Press Club today, the Gerald Ford Journalism Prize. Oh, Christ, what could that be? But here's Cheney today. Pale and sweaty and choking on his own bile or phlegm, whatever the hell he was, drinking water, wiping his head. Looked like he's going to slough off another body part as he took some questions from the press before he made a premature exit. The first questioner asked, are we winning the war on terror? Listen to this.
I believe we are. I think we've made significant progress if you look back over the last nearly 5 years now. The 9/11 obviously was a watershed event for us. The other point I'd make in connection with the global war on terror is the fact that it's been nearly 5 years now and we haven't been hit again. Now, nobody can promise that we won't be hit. There have been attacks around the world since 9/11 in places like London and Madrid and Istanbul and Casablanca and Mombasa and Tunisia and Jakarta and Bali and many, many other places. But the fact of the matter is we've been safe and secure here at home. And that's not an accident. It didn't happen just because we got lucky.
Oh, Jesus, God. There have been attacks around the world since September 11th in places like London. Hey, Bionic Man, in the 70s and 80s, London was hit almost on a weekly basis, wasn't it, by the IRA? Oh, never mind. Cheney must have lost most of his brain cells in that last heart attack if he's still invoking 9/11 using the example that we haven't been hit since 9/11 as proof that his strategy is working. What no one ever seems to remember or remind these demons is that they were hit on their watch. They set it up. And they totally ignored the threat posed by Osama bin Laden, if there ever was a threat. Listening to this bastard is like listening to a drunk who runs over you with his car and then later wants credit for not backing up and running over you again. What does he say? We've been safe and secure here at home. No thanks to you and your boy toy in the White House who invite the terrorists to bring it on and have made every U.S. citizen at home and abroad a hated target. He says it's not an accident that we haven't been hit again. It didn't happen just because we got lucky. No, it's your a boy toy boss who got lucky on 9/11. Remember, he said it. He hit the trifecta, right?
And then the two of you push all your fascist agenda like the Patriot Act that was written years, months before this attack on September 11th, you lying bastard. You did get lucky, you cyborg. You really did. Next question. About a year ago, Mr. Vice President, you said the insurgency in Iraq was in its final throes there. Do you still believe this?
I do. What I was referring to was the series of events that took place in 1995.
What?
I think the key turning point when we get back 10 years from now, say, and look back on this period of time and with respect to the campaign in Iraq, will be that series of events when the Iraqis increasingly took over responsibility for their own affairs. And there I point to the election in January of 05 when we set up the interim government, the drafting of the Constitution in the summer of 05, the national referendum in the fall of 05 when the Iraqis overwhelmingly approved that Constitution, and then the vote last December when some 12 million Iraqis, in defiance of the car bombers and the terrorists, went to the polls and voted in overwhelming numbers.
Oh, yeah, Bush's purple-fingered vote for our oil guy or else plan. Cough sounds a little bit serious there, bionic man, huh? Check it out. Pass the digitalis. Do something. You got some aspirins in your pocket? I'd take them. Isn't the answer to that question ironic, given that he looked like he was on the verge of his own last throes in the form of another massive TIA today? Must be the dead brain cells or lack of O2 to his brain, because Cheney still maintains, in the wake of increasing violence, a 2,500 number, as Tony Snow calls it, of dead Americans, kidnappings, he still maintains that the insurgents are in their last throes. And then he started talking about events in 1995. Jesus, God. Somebody get him some nitro tablets or a dove to shoot so he can get his strength back. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Air America is where you're listening.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
This is Air America's Jerry Springer. The plight of refugees worldwide does not reach the headlines nearly as often as it should. But away from the headlines, there's a lot being done to help. The United Nations Refugee Agency is at the forefront, working every day to lessen the plight of millions of displaced people. June 20th is World Refugee Day. All of us at Air America Radio urge you to find out more about the work that goes on year-round and how you can help. Visit UNHCR.org or AirAmerica.com.
Syriana arrives on DVD June 20th, starring 2005 Academy Award winner George Clooney, Matt Damon, and Jeffrey Wright, and directed by Stephen Gagan, the Academy Award-winning writer of Traffic. Syriana, an uncommonly intelligent story, an explosive tour of global petropolitics, says USA Today. Newsday proclaims that Syriana raises the bar for every thriller that will come in its wake, and Time Magazine declares that Syriana is light years from the standard Hollywood movie. Syriana, own it on DVD Tuesday, June 20th, rated R for violence and language.
Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. Iraq's prime minister says Iraqi forces will assume responsibility for security next month in a southern province. Nouri al-Maliki says Iraqi forces will take over for British, Japanese, and Australian forces. British Prime Minister Tony Blair's office says the coalition forces will move to a support role. The spokesman says the upcoming handover is a significant step. Al-Maliki says his national unity government plans to gradually take over security for all of Iraq's 14 provinces within the next 18 months. The Secretary of State warning North Korea that test firing a long-range missile would be considered a provocative act. Condoleezza Rice says the U.S. will talk with other international diplomats if North Korea fires an intercontinental ballistic missile, and she says it would be taken with utmost seriousness. Officials say North Korea's latest long-range weapon is apparently fueled, assembled, and ready to go. One senior official says the fueling process is not like other readiness tracked by the U.S. because it's difficult to reverse. The official says that probably means the test will go ahead. The U.S. ambassador to Japan says economic sanctions against North Korea are an option. The new United Nations Human Rights Council has been inaugurated by Secretary General Kofi Annan. He says it's a great new chance to renew the struggle for global human rights. The now-defunct Human Rights Commission was discredited in recent years because some countries with terrible human rights records used the membership to protect one another from condemnation. The first meeting of the new 47-member council opened today and runs through June 30th. Two investment brokers were indicted today on charges they conspired to bribe a former top official at the Ohio Workers' Compensation Fund with the use of their Florida condominium in exchange for state business. Michael Lewis and Daniel O'Neill manage stock investments for the $15 billion insurance fund for injured workers in Ohio while they were working at firms that got hundreds of thousands of dollars in commissions from the agency. These are the latest people charged in the year-long political scandal in Ohio that also led to ethics charges against Governor Bob Taft, who pleaded no contest to failing to report gifts. Prosecutors had promised more charges after Terrence Gasper, the Bureau's former chief financial officer, pleaded guilty in state and federal court earlier this month to taking kickbacks from brokers and others who wanted to handle the Ohio State Fund's investments. This is Air America Radio News.
music to the story.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. A couple more here from Cheney today at the Gerald R. Ford Journalism Prize Luncheon at the National Press Club. I'm laughing out of ignorance. I have no earthly idea what the Gerald R. Ford Journalism Prize is. I just know that it sounds, not only does it sound awkward and funny and ridiculous, Gerald Ford Journalism Prize? For what? Oh, well. Now, this next one is almost funny. A member of the press actually asked Cheney about privacy. The guy says, the Bush administration worries that disclosures of classified information may have damaged national security. Can you cite a time in U.S. history when a press disclosure has genuinely damaged national security?
Well, I do believe that there need to be secrets.
Oh!
I think there are things that the federal government does in the national security arena that need to be off limits.
Uh-huh.
And I think the fact of the matter is that there have been stories written that are damaging, if you will, from the standpoint of national security. Obviously, I can't get into any operational details.
Oh, okay. Okay, chuckle ass. You can't get. Oh, okay. The question was, can you name one? Just one. The answer is no. He can't. Because it's never happened. And as far as accepting the 911 story at face value, remember George W. Bush and this punk-ass bionic VP of ours? Remember what the deal was? No investigation. No. Who was it that made there be even the toy, ridiculous, scummy, fake investigation? It was the Jersey Girls, right? Was it? Or other survivors, families of the victims? There's never been an investigation of what happened on September 11th. When Cheney took this half-witted president of his into the hearing room, they refused to have him sworn in. Don't you remember any of this? Don't you remember how the Bush crime family said no, no, no investigation? Can you imagine any other president in the history of this republic saying no to an investigation to find out what happened on September 11th. No, but I'll tell you what, at Daily Coast or Salon.com or wherever the hell it is, we'll have no more discussions about this nonsense. Last one from Darth Cheney for the evening. Reporter asks what drunk is going to get drunker for his birthday. Wow, glad there's some serious reporting going on out there, huh? All right, listen to the reporter.
Mr. Vice President, I've been advised by your staff that you need to cut the program off early, so I want to ask a final question to you. President Bush will be 60 on July 6th. What gift do you plan to give him?
What gift do I plan to give him? Well, we usually don't exchange birthday presents. We exchange Christmas presents. I'd have to give serious thought. It's one of those things that needs to be secret.
Oh, that's a real knee slapper! Ah! How about a horse head in a box? How about a sack of dead birds? Will that work? Huh? How about a still-beating human heart? Huh? Huh? Don't you wonder why Cheney had to leave early? Was the sun coming out from behind the clouds and he had to crawl back into his box of dirt before he burst into flames? What do you suppose? You think it had something to do with that cough? And wiping that sweat off his forehead, huh? And then there's this. After Bush returned from his sleepover to Iraq, he attacked those calling for a timetable for withdrawal. He said the Iraqis had concerns that a timetable would disrupt their strategy to create a secure and democratic Iraq, which is such a lie. The Iraqis are just trying to figure out how to stay alive. Here's what he said. and the willingness of some to say that if we're in power, we'll withdraw on a set timetable concerns people in Iraq because they understand our coalition forces provide ostensive stability so they can address old wrongs and develop their strategy and plan to move forward. They need our help, and they recognize that, and so they're concerned about that. But Saturday, the Associated Press reported that Iraq's vice president, Tariq al-Hashimi, personally asked Bush to set a time for withdrawal of U.S. troops. Iraq's president, Jalal Talabani, said he supported the request. The AP reported it this way. Iraq's vice president has asked President Bush for a timeline for the withdrawal of foreign troops from Iraq, the Iraqi president's office said. Vice President Tariq al-Hashimi Assouni made the request during his meeting with Bush on Tuesday when the U.S. president made a surprise visit to Iraq. Quote, I supported him in this, President Jalal Talabani said in a statement released Wednesday. They ask him to get these troops out. And what does Bush do? He comes home and lies again and again and again. He says the Iraqis had concerns at a timetable would disrupt their strategy. You lying bastard, they specifically requested it. Ah, but we're supposed to believe what Bush and Cheney say about 9/11. Yeah, okay. Well, first let me apologize for the screaming tonight. I think to get out of this segment and then go strictly your phone calls, I want, can we do this one again? Chuckle Nuts talking about the tide is turning. We started the program with this tonight, and I just want to play it again. But this the cringe factor on this is like the degree of cringe factor is about a plus 10 here on a scale of maybe 1 to 12. This is a plus 10 cringe factor. Degree of difficulty, I don't know, hell, 10 to the 10th power. But here is this half-witted freak, George W. Bush, at the Rose Garden press conference when he, his Insult the Handicap Festival a bit last week. And the reporter, hapless little freak that he is, can you imagine reporters saying, is the tide turning in Iraq? Ah, for Christ's sake. But he says it. The reporter says, is the tide turning in Iraq?
Yeah, I think tide turning, as I remember, I was raised in the desert, but tides kind of turn, it's easy to see a tide turn. Did I say those words? Yeah, I probably ought to then reflect on those words and think that I sense something different happening in Iraq. The progress will be steady toward a goal that is clearly been defined.
Thanks for clearing that up, Mensa man. Little difficulty there hearing the right phrasing coming into your headpiece from the lily white jackass Rove, who wants more people to go die in Iraq so he can sit on what did Murtha say, Kathy? His well padded butt or whatever he said in some office somewhere. Jesus. It's just sometimes beyond belief, isn't it? Craig is calling from Boone, North Carolina. Craig, welcome to the program. Thank you for holding on. We're probably going to be talking here for about 30 seconds, and I'm going to put you on hold. But welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Craig.
Best regards to you and Kathy. And it's been a superb program tonight. One thing I think we all need to keep in mind is that we do have, all of us, every human being, an inalienable right to speak to issues. I'm right with you.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I guess that still holds. I don't know. I begin to wonder. Hey, we got a break here. You want to hold on?
Absolutely.
All right.
Sure.
Stay right where you are. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. This is Air America Radio. I'm Mike Malloy.
Won't you let me help you, mister? Just pull
You know, the program on this network with the infinitesimal audience.
Dance just a little longer. Next time somebody laughs at you, you just tell them you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. Texas won't you get away? That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. Texas won't you get away? That's right, you're not from Texas.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 100,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals on the iMed and Cigna Dental Networks. Call right now and you can try the Optimum Health Discount Card risk-free for 30 days. That's right, your membership entitles you to full access to the entire Cigna Dental Network and iMed Network for you to try risk-free for 30 days. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Start saving up to 60% off now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
we'd get the trifecta.
Oh, that's so funny. All right, back to Craig in Boone, North Carolina. Craig, thanks for holding on.
Hey, thanks for taking the call, Mike.
Sure, sure.
You've brought up a plethora of issues over the past month, and they're all interconnected and deep, and I really appreciate that. Sometimes, you know, when you hear what goes on in the media, when you hear what goes on, in, I just want to address a couple things quickly, if I could, and I want to hear what other people have to say. First, Martha, and I don't want to make this call about myself, but I come from an entire family of veterans, my father, four uncles, and two grandfathers. And I don't want to make it about my experience, but if we go to Nam for a minute, if you experienced it, and many of these people, and you know who they are, have not, if you're working under an urban guerrilla police action situation, which what it is today, it's no win.
Oh, no, it's impossible.
And the MRSA smearing and all this other stuff that goes on, I just, sometimes, like you've said, you know, I want to go outside in my beautiful nature here and just beat my head on a rock. It's outrageous to me. They don't understand it. The other thing that they don't understand is, I think that it should be talked about more, and is tribalism. And if one understands that culture or nexus of cultures in the Middle East, and I have friends over there, Bedouin culture, extended family tribal culture, it never gets discussed. They don't have a genocidal aspect to them in the negative. I'm talking about the negative aspect.
Yeah,
I
brought this up one time about trying to impose what we consider to be democracy on a tribal society.
Absolutely.
Like Afghanistan or Iraq, or and immediately got, I don't know, several emails saying that I was guilty of cultural racism.
No, you're not.
Of course, I know I'm not. I just find it amazing to me that there are people in this country who really believe that you go into a society as different from ours as, say, Afghanistan,
and impose
our way, or attempt to impose our way of government,
right,
and that's not considered a political imperialism. What the hell is?
That's imperial racism.
Yes.
That's, you know, what we do, because we have our good side and our shadow side, so do they. And without getting into too much, you know, it's too deep, but if you understand how they operate, if they believe that American soldier killed their child, an innocent child, if they believe that, whether it happened, I'm not even going to get into whether it happened or not. And I'm talking from first Cav experience, and friends of mine got names on that wall, man. This is where I'm coming from. If you understand that you can't find the enemy, the quote-unquote enemy, their culture demands that they go out and take out so many of your people. That's just the way it is.
Sure.
Period. That's, and I'm going to make a prediction. This chaos and mayhem and death that Sundance and his hole-in-the-head gang started will never stop. Until, though I would disagree with Murth on probably a lot of things, he's right.
Mm-hmm.
Get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
Because of the men and women who are there, who are facing impossible situations, and it won't stop. Just won't stop.
No, it won't. It won't.
Regardless of, you know, what anybody says about religion and secularism and violence, it won't stop.
And eventually we will make peace with after enough people have died, we'll make peace with the so-called enemy, like we did in Vietnam.
Absolutely.
Which is now a communist country that is opening up the floodgates like China to capitalism, because they want the American bucks and the Chinese products and so on and so forth. And every time I think of that wall with 58,000 dead people, and I think about the 2 million dead Indo-Chinese, and I spent a whole night just ripping on this and trying to figure out what in the name of Christ or Buddha or my left
foot. The whole thing was involved, the longest war in U.S. history, and now we're over there playing grab ass, and they're playing grab ass with us, and they're going to join the WTO, and they're going to join this, and they're going to join that, and more power to them. I have nothing against that. What I'm saying is, why did 60,000 American soldiers die and 2 million Indochinese? Huh? Nobody can answer that, and nobody can tell me why this death in Iraq makes any sense at all. And if somebody says that what we discussed on this program is superfluous because the audience is infinitesimal, I say go screw yourself. I've had enough. Craig, thanks. I got to leave.
I'm a proud member of your infinitesimal audience.
I hear you. Thanks, Craig. Thanks. I said it once before. We only have 17 listeners. Every time I said, the last time I was in D.C. and went to that the Vietnam War Memorial, Jesus Christ Almighty, and they're doing it again. They're doing it to us again. Doing it to us again. We're back after the break. This is Air America.
Throughout the land, back your boys off to Vietnam. Come on, folks, don't hesitate. Send them off before it's too late. Be the first one on the block to have your boy come home in a box. And it's 1, 2, 3. What are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. Next stop is Vietnam. And it's 5, 6, 7. Open up the pearly gates. Well, ain't no time to wonder why.
Is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Entrepreneurs, I've got your number. I know how much you put into your small business. Big dreams, big plans, and most of all, big thinking. Not your average run-of-the-mill thinking. You're all about big thinking, as in light bulb over the head, eureka screaming, think I'll open my own small business kind of thinking. The kind of thinking shown when you sign your company up for the budget business program from Budget Rent-A-Car. Now, I know what your knowledge-hungry mind is saying. Sounds interesting. Please tell me more. Will do. The Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. $2 back every day. You're the genius. Add it up. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business and sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent budget and rent like a genius.
You know the feeling, dreading each and every time your phone rings because it might be one of your creditors looking to collect. Well, pay close attention because relief is on the way. Debt Relief USA will negotiate and settle all your credit card debt for about half of what you owe without filing bankruptcy. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you need to call 800-516-6568 now. Debt Relief USA has been helping thousands of people just like you become debt-free, in most cases in less than 36 months, excluding Maryland and New York.
My credit card bills were out of control. I was maxed out and $22,000 in debt. I had no idea how I was going to pay off the money I owed, much less make my monthly payment. That's when I called Debt Relief USA. They set up a plan for me, and I settled for only 40% of what I owed. I am back in control. Thank you, Debt Relief USA.
Call Debt Relief USA today for your free consultation. 800-516-6568. Pay your creditors. Avoid bankruptcy. Call now. 800-516-6568. 800-516-6568.
We'll be right back.
we tend to forget. I mean, ours is a society where things are like instant, so therefore history almost is like so far back it doesn't count.
Oh, God. So I get an email from Sue here. Subject line, two wars and a global war on terror, and what have we got? In Iraq, we have control over the green zone. That's it. The elected leader holds up in the green zone. In Afghanistan, we have control over part of Kabul with the elected leader holed up in a fortress in Kabul with the situation getting worse. Incidents of terrorism have increased worldwide. There's the maxed out credit card future generations will attempt to pay. Both wars are being charged to future generations. Reputation U.S. has been shredded. The military is exhausted. Equipment is in bad need of repair. The U.S. is badly divided with the situation getting worse. Then there are the other fronts in the global war on terror. Has anyone heard lately about the front in the GWOT in the Philippines that was opened with much fanfare at the White House with Bush and Arroyo making a joint appearance? The Israeli-Palestinian situation is much worse than when Bush took office. This is a partial list of what we got. Signed, Sue. Yeah, partial list. Back to the phone calls here. Susan is calling from Los Angeles. Susan, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi. What I wanted to mention was this occupation of Iraq. This president has committed a succinct felony against the United States government by leading us into war under false pretenses, and the Congress of the United States should be placing impeachment against him. 2,500 of our soldiers have died, poorly armored, the wounded soldiers, the death of the innocent Iraqi civilians, and these merchants of death continue on when any citizen in the United States can go to the federal or the criminal courts, criminal courts and the civil courts and place an indictment against this president for treason. He has committed treason against this nation, and their family are just war profiteers. The family is involved in war profiteering.
Well, you get no argument from me. I wish there was some way, Sue, to just peacefully and legally remove these people from office overnight tonight. But
me too.
I just don't think it's going to happen. Susan, thank you. Thanks for checking in. I do appreciate it. You have a nice evening. Ira is calling from New Jersey. Ira, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Just one comment on 9/11, then I'll get to something else. Cheney, you talked about Cheney earlier, this Gerald Ford thing, whatever that was. Cheney, it's pretty well known in 9/11 truth, ran war games right out of the White House, and that's how they compromised our air defenses. Cheney's one of the masterminds. Cheney, some other people, Rumsfeld, Cheney and Rumsfeld led the, headed the, think tank, the project for the New American Century, and that.
Yeah, I have no doubt
that led to what we're in today, and that led to the 2000 election being rigged for Bush, stolen from Gore. And, the thing I wanted to, mention, you talked a little about last week, I think, Karl Rove. He's supposedly not going to be prosecuted, not going to be indicted, somewhat awkwardly.
At least not publicly, Ira.
Publicly. This came.
Let me just get this said. I still absolutely, utterly believe Jason Leopold's account at truthout.org, and Mark Ash, who runs truthout.org, his standing behind the story. I believe it. I will continue to
believe it. I believe it, too, Mike. In fact, I read a report on a credible website.
Well, everybody, you know, a lot of mainstream people are attacking Jason Leopold.
Oh, yeah.
This rotten bastard at the Washington Post, I believe on a blog, who made reference to Jason Leopold's drug usage at some point in his life. Who among us hasn't used drugs? For Christ's sake, where do they come after me about my drug usage?
Yeah.
Rah! But anyway, I'll stand with Jason Leopold in a heartbeat before
I read his article, and I agree. And there's supposedly some mayhem in Patrick Fitzgerald's office. Suppose the report is that the grand jury indicted Rove, and when the presentment was passed on to a federal magistrate to sign off, he refused, and the special counsel didn't say anything. And therefore, there's people resigning, revolting in Fitzgerald's office. All this is being swept under the rug. If there was anybody indictable, it was Rove in that affair. Anybody at all?
Well, there's one other person that is eminently indictable, and that is Cheney.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Where where it concerns this particular issue, Cheney is a war criminal. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
But just regarding releasing of Valerie Plame's name, this is a Cheney operation from the word go.
Yeah, the mainstream media, a good term henceforth, is deadstream media. What they're doing now, I saw there was an article today. They're calling for Bush to pardon Libby, and the whole thing will get swept under the rug. Can you believe it?
Yes.
I can believe it, yeah.
Yes, I can believe it.
And you could believe it, too, yeah. But I agree with you. Truthapp.org, that report about the indictment, I agree with that. He was indicted, and it's just being swept under, I don't know.
I know. It's just another cover. Ira, let me move on. Thank you. I appreciate you checking in, pal. Herb is calling from Mississippi. Herb, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Yeah, hey, Mike, how you doing tonight, buddy?
Hey, it's the old Sarge. I'm doing fine, Herb. How are you?
I'm doing okay, man. I wanted to say something before I get into the comment I want to call on tonight's show. First, Friday night, you had some people asked about the fraud on the FEMA debit card.
Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. I wanted to get that cleared up, too.
All right.
The situation is, FEMA issued these debit cards up to $2,000, and they gave the people no instructions on what they could or could not be used for. So the people had the money, and in some cases they used it, and they didn't know what was right and what was wrong, and so a lot of it falls at the hands of FEMA. It's like my twin sister got one, and when I told her about it, she said, "Hey, Herb, wait a minute, whoa, stop. What can I not use them for? Because I may have misused mine." So, before the listeners get too involved in that story, it's FEMA, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
FEMA. And as far as the Daily Kos goes, well, I know an old Sarge that even write a story about a fellow in a Puerto Rican detention center that'll be glad to write any story anybody wants to send to him.
Hmm.
And that includes even Mike Malloy.
Yeah, Puerto Rican detention center, huh?
Yeah, a guy named Victor Lopez.
Hey, we talk about my boy Victor.
Yeah, and his story's up on the website right now.
Well, bless your heart. Thank you for doing that. That's at powersandmorrison.com.
That's right. And I tell you what, it was a pleasure. I got three letters from him to one. I feel bad about that. But the man has a really good story, and I'm glad you told me about it. It's a great story, and you've given me another story I'm going to write about this situation on 9/11, because I think it's kind of important. I'd like for people to come to my website and drop any comments they have on.
Well, that's a great idea. That's
because
great
I'll
idea.
Be more. Hey, if I had to even set up my own site just for people to have a voice there, I'll do that too. But that's what I wanted to say. But now what I wanted to go further into this thing. Have you noticed how Cheney, when he says something, he has this big habit of saying, "If you will."
Oh, I hate that. I hate that. If you will. Like, what the hell is that?
Okay, now I've wondered about that. And the one question I have, now this is just pure me, but is it that he's saying that because he's leaving it open for future prosecution? I don't know.
I don't know either, Sarge. I think it's just a little verbal tick that he has that he thinks makes him sound important or makes him sound highly educated. Or I don't know why people pick up those kinds of verbal ticks, but that's all that is.
I'd much rather hear Martha speak than Cheney. Mike, I'm going to let you go. I know you got other calls.
All right. Thanks a lot. Thanks for checking in. I appreciate it, Herb. Go to that powersandmorrison.com website. What he's talking about is a young man. He's in his early 20s, named Victor Ernesto Lopez, who started listening to this program when he was in the federal detention center in Miami. He's been busted and sentenced for, I think, credit card fraud and kiting bad checks and the kind of white-collar crime that most people don't go to. He's facing 10 years in prison. He's not in jail because he's a drug runner or a child molester or a murderer, an arsonist. He made some grave mistakes, and he understands he made some horrible mistakes. He's now being held in a prison in Puerto Rico, in San Juan, Puerto Rico, because some of the crimes that he committed, the check kiting and the credit card fraud, was done in the American Virgin Islands and in that area. So he can't listen to the program now, but he writes to me. And so I mentioned it, and it's on my website. Go to MikeMalloy.com. You got his address. He sent me three letters that I got over the weekend. He's getting some correspondence, he said, from people around the globe who listen to this program on the Internet. And I just want to say thank you. You're making this young man I don't know what word to use, but you're making the time that he's serving a little easier to deal with. He's not copping a plea. He accepts responsibility. But check it out. Go to MikeMalloy.com. It's up there as an action alert. Thanks.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Syriana on DVD now, starring 2005 Academy Award winner George Clooney, Matt Damon, and Jeffrey Wright, and directed by Stephen Gagan, the Academy Award-winning writer of Traffic. Syriana, an uncommonly intelligent story, an explosive tour of global petropolitics, says USA Today. Newsday proclaims that Syriana raises the bar for every thriller that will come in its wake. And Time Magazine declares that Syriana is light years from the standard Hollywood movie. Syriana, own it on DVD now. Rated R for violence and language.
I'm Bob Harris to tell you about my new Smart Balance Omega Plus Light Mayonnaise with flax oil and plant sterols. New Smart Balance Omega Mayo has 500 milligrams of omega-3s per serving, natural plant sterols to help offset cholesterol, and half the fat and calories of regular mayonnaise. Enjoy my new Smart Balance Omega Light Mayonnaise in salads and sandwiches. You get an omega-3 wallop in every tasty dollop of my new Smart Balance Light Mayonnaise.
about 10 before the hour. Thanks to Justin Yuen and Jason Isaac, who engineered the program tonight in New York. Dee Neal is our associate producer in New York, answered your calls. Thanks also to our senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota, Mark Marshall, who maintains our website, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, who archives this program. By the way, Ben is in a fundraising drive. If you got 20 or 30 bucks, please drop it over to WhiteRoseSociety.org. They provide, or Ben provides, archives of so many programs that you're just not going to hear because of time or whatever unless you go there. WhiteRoseSociety.org. Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. Catherine Bay is the executive producer. And a reminder, this Friday, the 23rd, is Youth Night, whatever we call it. If you're between the ages of 13 and 17, we want to hear from you. We're pretty much going to have kind of open topics. And we've done this a couple times before, and it's always an eye-opener for older people to sit back and just listen. 13 to 17, if you're in that age group, Friday night is going to be your night on this program again, so spread the word, all right? Matt is calling from Madison, Wisconsin. Thanks for your patience, Matt. Welcome to the program.
First, I have to apologize, Mike, but my radio, well, I'm not going to apologize. My radio broke a couple of weeks ago, and I started jonesing because I'm not making this up. I heard your voice in a dream, and you were saying something. You were saying something nasty about Bush, and I woke up, and it was like I could still hear you. I wasn't hallucinating. I mean, it's like, whoa, wait a minute. I mean, he hates Bush even in my. I don't know. Maybe you and I have had some mind meld or something, but that's not why I called.
Okay.
Well, I guess I must have been jonesing. It's just I thought, well, okay, I'll slow down. I don't have a computer, so I can't listen to you on the web, but there are some computers downstairs where I live, and I can go to the internet, you know, and
yeah,
check out your website.
Well, good.
And one thing I just saw on the web that just propelled me to call is just this disgusting Ann Coulter and how the mainstream media actually acts as if this woman has something to say.
Can I just interject here, Matt? I know you've held on for a long time tonight, but I just don't want to talk about her.
Okay, I won't.
I just don't want any comments about her. She's a disgusting human being. I want nothing to do with her on this program. Is that all right? Okay.
Okay, so I'll say, but can I talk about these people who have attacked these 9/11 widows? I mean, they can you think lower than that?
No, you can't.
Okay, and I'll just leave you with that thought for tonight. It's been nice talking.
All right, thanks, Matt. I appreciate you checking in. It's just disgusting. There's certain things I just can't. I just hate it. Ann Coulter. Gag. Can't do it. Oops. Deb is calling from Buffalo, New York. Deb, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding
on. Hi. I'm glad I finally got through to you.
Yes.
I wanted to bring up the fact that there's an article from the Washington Post that a lot of us message board people are talking about called Back to the Bunker.
Uh-huh.
It was presented June 4th, and it says that Monday, which was yesterday, 4,000 government workers are going to go into bunkers. The State Department and Commodity Future Trading Commission are sending them. They're going to go to Maryland, Virginia, and the suburb foothills of the Alleghenies,
mm-hmm,
underground. And it's going to be the largest evacuation. It's a continuation of the government exercise drill of 9/11, and we know what happened on that day. It was like they knew that 9/11 was going to happen, so they pulled a drill to act like they had an ulterior motive.
Mm-hmm.
And we all believe that Bush has an ulterior motive behind this evacuation thing. And about 2 weeks ago, we didn't have any reasoning behind it. But now that this Korea thing is out, we're thinking maybe he got a letter from Korea, like the Bin Laden, determined to strike the U.S. And we're all really shaky about it.
What's the website?
It's go to Google and Google it, Back to to the bunker.
Back to the bunker. Okay.
Yeah, it'll bring up the Washington Post article.
Uh-huh.
But you could also put 4,000 bunker, and it'll bring it up. And it's a two-page article that a lot of us are very nervous about, and we're wondering why no one's picking up on it.
Well,
some questions are coming out.
I have no idea, but now you're making me nervous.
Yeah, I'm very nervous about it.
All right, I'll take a look at it tonight, Deb.
Yeah, and maybe you can mention it tomorrow, and I'll listen tomorrow, because I'd like to hear your point of view about it.
I'll see what I can do.
Oh,
all right?
Thank you so much.
All right, thanks, Deb. Thanks for checking in. We can't take any more calls. We're just flat out of time here in about 20 seconds. But I do appreciate your participating in the program tonight. Sorry, I'm going to leave folks on hold again. Part of this infinitesimal audience that John Walsh over at Counterpunch insists exists here. That's really a snarky thing to say, you know, infinitesimal. You know, you can say small. You can say it's not as big as Al Franken's or Rush Limbaugh's, but infinitesimal? Smartass. And somebody sent me an email that said that, yeah, he likes your program. Okay, with that kind of like. Jeez. I'll see you tomorrow night, Truth Seeker. Thanks for tuning in. I do appreciate it. Take care, okay? Watch your back. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy.
America Radio. Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now, 800-641-2626 for The Forward. That's 800-641-2626.